Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, those disciples and followers of Jesus, were all in one accord, all with one accord in one place. Father, thank you for this amazingly good season of the wind of the Holy Spirit working and blowing in the church today. It's a new season of your full visitation, a season of your habitation, a season of time of refreshing. It's exciting what you're doing all over the world, and we're experiencing it now as it begins here in our own church and culture. A season of blessing. So we move in your spirit, and we have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Be glorified among us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We need to know who our daddy is. Amen? We need to know who our daddy is. David said of him, "If I make my bed in hell, my daddy will be there. And if I cry out, the Lord will come to me." People think, you know, at times that they are saved on the days when they're doing well. And on the days when they're not doing so well, they question their salvation. There's a lot of that among Christians in our culture today. Am I going to heaven? You need to get so saved, so ignited by the Holy Spirit, that you know, and you get past the point where you think salvation is a feeling. Salvation is not based on what you feel. Because if you rely on feeling for salvation, you're not going to feel saved all the time. When you are born again, listen, you don't have to act it out. You just walk it. It's natural to walk out your salvation. So evaluate your walk tonight and be sure you are walking in the Spirit, not after your own desires, but in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you will just follow His leadership into His Word, you will always stay on the rails. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is going to move in a mighty and wonderful way. And I've got great anticipation and a great witness in my spirit about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our church. We are believing for fresh anointing for the entire body of Christ, for every age level. I can't wait to watch not only the adults being renewed in the Spirit, but watch our children and our children's children lifting their hands and being touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We will anoint you with oil, believing for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to empower you for victory and for you to be bold in your witness. This is the day we need to be bold in speaking up for who we believe in, the Lord Jesus. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated or sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. They had come for the feast, Pentecost. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? How do they know our language?" Now watch, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, and by the way, note, with the what? 11. Remember who they added? Matthias? So some people tell you, well, he never became a disciple. He did, right there. And Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." And people were thinking, you guys have been hitting it too early in the morning, right? No, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." I want to watch that happen. Amen. "Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." They'll speak my word. So my desire is that Calvary Christian Center walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that he is actively working in us to the full extent that Peter described here in the book of Acts. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to move suddenly from heaven and sweep in with healing in your wings, Holy Spirit, testimonies of deliverance. With one touch of the Holy Spirit, confusion is gone and joy is restored. Wipe away the sting of painful memories. Inspire your people with a new vision for a new day. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to bless this house of God, God's house, moving in his divine order. We are on our way on the calendar to the celebration of the day of Pentecost. It's a celebration of the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the day of Pentecost was celebrated. It had huge significance because it was the birthday of the church 50 days after the resurrection. That experience ushered in what the prophet Joel spoke about. And we are destined to move in Joel's description of this last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's us. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. We are destined to move in Joel's description of this last day outpouring of the... That's for us. I want that for us. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Start claiming that right now. "Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." When the day of Pentecost had arrived, the 120 had been gathered together in one place, in the designated upper room, for 10 days. And there they were confined while they waited and they sought the presence of God. On that day, they were in one accord. On the 10th day, they achieved unity totally of focus, full unity of focus. God had their focused attention. They were in full agreement. "Behold," the scripture says, "how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments, and it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Say, "Lord, we agree with you.
Lord, we agree with you.
We honor you.
We honor
you. You are our Father.
Jesus is our elder brother.
There is no access to you
except through him.
The Holy Spirit is our comforter.
We honor the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love our brothers and sisters.
We are the called out people.
Ecclesia.
Your chosen people.
We walk in love.
We walk in forgiveness.
We walk in your power
because we are in one accord.
In Jesus' name.
Come on, thank him.
Praise the Lord. In Acts 2 and 4, the Holy Spirit has arrived to saturate the 120 believers in the upper room with his presence. The origin of anointing spread from the setting apart. It came about from the setting apart of the priests of Israel. In Exodus 30, you shall make from these a holy anointing oil. An ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. Also in Israel's history, the shepherds of the Bible days, they would start anointing their sheep with oil because annoying insects would infest their sheep. And the insects would get into the wool, then crawl and make their way up into their nostrils and drive those sheep crazy. Then the insects also would burrow into the ears of the sheep, and the ensuing infections could kill the sheep, severe. So the shepherds would bring the sheep over to themselves, and while holding them, rub the anointing oil into their heads and around their noses and around their ears, so that the bugs would be repelled by the oil. Thank God, whatever's bugging you gets repelled by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? The act of anointing became symbolic of the blessing, protection, empowerment to destroy yokes. Say blessing,
blessing.
Protection,
protection,
empowerment. So when you are anointed with his oil, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, when you are touched tonight, I'm declaring the destruction of every yoke that ever held you down. Amen? He destroys yokes. Can anybody celebrate that? Amen. The yoke of sickness, the yoke of depression, the yoke of addiction. The yoke of messing with your marriage, the yoke of messing with your finances, the yoke binding your children. We declare they are broken. I'm declaring your children don't need to be drugged to pay attention and stay focused. Your children are whole by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Amen?
Amen?
Parents, you ought to celebrate that. Give thanks to God over that. You're about to be anointed with the Spirit of the living God. There is no greater touch than the touch of the Holy Spirit. This symbolic act of anointing, listen, you will wake up the power of God that you've had in you all along. The indwelling presence of the Spirit comes alive in you when the anointing touches your life. There'll be a shaking and an uprooting in you like never before. And this is not a game. This is not a show. This is not about performance. It's always about his presence. This is for your bloodline. This is for his kingdom. This is for his power. This is for the manifestation and the demonstration of the power of God. Are you ready for that tonight?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. And God knows, in the church and the Western culture, we need a clean house. Amen?
Yes.
I just picked this article up yesterday. And it's an interesting, phenomenally written, well written. The author says, Paul wrote a warning to his spiritual son Timothy that the Holy Spirit speaks clearly. In last of days, some will depart from the faith and pay attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. The danger that we have in the church, in our culture, is we look at the warning signs and the things that God says to us through His Word and by His Spirit, and we say to ourselves, it's not that bad. And I think he wrote a targeted article here, and he said, people do not recognize the extreme danger facing them because they do not love the truth. They don't want to hear it. Don't tell me the truth. And he goes on to say, so many in the church have been steeped in nationalism and relativism, they no longer accept the absolute truth of God's word. He goes on to say, the fear of the Lord and the warnings of Scripture do not prick their heart because they do not love the truth. That leaves them extremely vulnerable to strong delusion and believing a lie, which is self-deception. And how does one know, he goes on to write, if they believe a lie or if they're following deception? He says, they will drive the dangerous road believing they are perfectly safe because of this delusion, totally unaware of the danger that lies ahead until, bam. And then only when they receive the rebuke of the Word of God and the correction of the Word of God, they become aware they've been on a dangerous road. A person must receive the love of the truth from the Holy Spirit if they're to avoid the dangers in the church today. And there's the danger, he writes, of excessive grace that does not call for holy living. A positive gospel with emphasis upon the love and goodness of God, but does not call to repentance of sin. And this out-of-balance teaching, being followed by thousands in the church, maybe because they're spiritually naive or looking for the new and thrilling thing being taught, but they are unaware they have run past the danger signs of the Word of God. I thought, whoa, man, did he hit the nail on the head with that article. Amen? Amen. Fantastic. So I'm looking at this power of the Holy Spirit needed for the church, and we've got to cleanse ourselves in order for the power of the Spirit to fill us and work through us. This is, again, this is the time of shaking and uprooting like never before. Stuff that's in us that needs to get out of us so the Holy Spirit can find complete control and complete saturation of our being. Now is the time for the saints of the Most High to rise up and to possess their promise, to take what God promised you. And in this service, here we are post-Pentecost, the original day of Pentecost, in a season when the Holy Spirit is available to all who call on the Lord, and He's manifesting Himself everywhere on the planet. Tonight will be the night when there's an outpouring that renews the body of Christ and refreshes us. The apothecary, the perfumer, would go to the temple with the priests, and his responsibility was to create the holy anointing oil. One drop, one touch, fresh anointing. Say, one drop, one touch, fresh anointing. Let me read it from the passage. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and take for yourselves quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil, which was a gallon. It's a gallon of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and its utensils, lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils, the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. The purpose of the anointing with the holy anointing oil, it was for consecration, the devoting, setting apart of any item, even persons, for the worship and the service of the Lord. You are being set apart for worship and for the service of God. Say, I am set apart for the worship and service of God. That's what God's given to all of us in these latter days when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Another purpose for the holy anointing oil was for sanctification, the act of setting apart for sacred use, to make holy, to purify, to make productive with spiritual blessings. And that article I just quoted from just zeroes in on that, making holy, setting apart, getting our hearts in the right place. Say, I am sanctified,
set apart
to make holy,
purify,
productive, spiritually blessed. So don't despise sanctification. There are some places and environments you are not supposed to feel comfortable in. There are some people God does not want you associating with where you join and knit yourselves together with them. No matter how you comb your hair or how you dress to try to impress, there is an understanding that you need to have, that you've been set apart for a higher calling, and God will not allow you to contaminate your call by dabbling in cultural contaminations. Those you walk with need to be sanctified. Those that you knit yourself together with, they also need to be set apart for holy purpose. The holy anointing oil sets us apart to worship God and purifies us for His holy purposes. And the elements of the anointing oil included myrrh. It's from the sap of a tree, which is the bloodline of the tree. And to obtain myrrh, the branch of the tree has to be broken, snapped. Myrrh represents the brokenness, the hurts, and the pains of life. And God says, I know you've been broken. I know you've been through the pains in life. But in your brokenness, I am making you whole. I am reshaping you into all I have ordained you to be. The next element of holy anointing oil is sweet cinnamon. It comes from the inner bark through grinding. It's symbolic of the hard places in life, the grind of life. Understand, you have to go through something to get to the sweet thing. And in your brokenness, as you walk through your trials, it's mixing into your anointing all of those things that you have endured and experienced. Whatever you're going through, you're anointed to go through it. Don't stop in the middle. Don't die in the valley. There's some sweet stuff coming along your journey. Then the calamus was added. It comes from the root of the sugar cane. It represents the sweet and the joyful times life brings. There are joyful days. There are sweet times. Calamus creates a very sweet fragrance. It grows along riverbanks, and it sweetens the air while it's growing. When you walk past it, it's very fragrant. There is some sweetness on the way. Praise God. Let me say it over here. There is some sweetness on the way. Amen. There's some sweetness that's coming. And through the brokenness and the tests, you're moving into sweetness. You're coming through hard times. You're coming through brokenness. There is some sweetness about to happen. Wonderful things. And when you're anointed tonight, God will open your eyes to the wonderful things He has for you, because He gives vision and He shares dream and He causes you to see beyond the moment. There is a reason you had to go through that test. There's a reason. Then there was cassia. It comes from the inside of the acacias, and it represents our hopes and our dreams. Tell your neighbor, don't stop hoping. Say, don't stop dreaming. They shall manifest. You've been anointed for victory. Say it. You've been anointed for God to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can dream, and hope for by the power that works in you. And because you have come through brokenness and the grind of life, now you're coming into sweetness and your dreams will live. Amen? Ask Joseph. You don't think you came through all of that to not be anointed? You don't think you walked through all of that for nothing? There's something bigger for you. There's something better for you if you don't get discouraged. Celebrate that. God's got something greater than you imagined. And bless his name for that. Man. Sometimes you get stuck in brokenness. Tell your neighbor, don't get stuck in brokenness. Keep moving. Tell them, keep moving. And sometimes you get stuck in the grind of life. Say, don't get stuck there. And you need brokenness and you need the grind of life so that you can get to the joy of life and manifest the dreams that God gave you by his Spirit. Give God some praise tonight. That belongs to all of us. Thank you, Lord. The ingredients alone mean very little when you set them by themselves. By themselves, in some cases, if you were to ingest them, they could be very harmful. You'll run into people who are stuck on broken. They ingested broken. They kill others with their words. Killing others with their speech and their actions, stuck and broken. Some have become desensitized because of the grind of life, and they've got no more sensitivity to the presence of the Holy Spirit, never getting to the sweetness, never enjoying the fragrance. But when the perfumer mixes the ingredients with pure olive oil, it creates the aroma. The ointment and the anointing is not only visible, you can smell it. When you travel to the Holy Land, you'll see the olive presses there where they extract olive oil. I remember we stopped a couple of places where we got to observe them. Some of them were on the properties that go all the way back to the days of Jesus that were still in existence today. And some of the utensils that came from that era over 2,000 years ago. And we would have an explanation of how they would crush the olives in order, harvest them and then crush them in order to get the olive oil, first press, extra virgin. I remember while I was watching and listening to Danny talk a little bit about that. As it were, an olive spoke to me. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it asked, when you anoint people for prayer, where do you get the oil? I go buy it from the store. Okay? How much does it cost you? And I'm thinking this in my head while I'm looking at this and he's speaking about the press. $5, $10 a bottle, it can get pretty expensive. And the olive in my head said, it's more expensive than that. And the olive indicated, if you want to know how much the oil costs, you have to ask the olive. Because I'm the one who had to be crushed for that oil. The olive says, that is expensive oil because I had to go through a crushing for it to be released. Say to your neighbor, I'm anointed, and I have an expensive anointing. And you do not know how much it cost to show up this Sunday. You don't know the brokenness that I've been through. You don't know the grind that I have dealt with. You don't know what I had to push some days to get here. You don't understand how God took all of that and mixed it together and I am anointed tonight. I am anointed for breakthrough. I am anointed for provision. I am anointed for healing because of what God allowed me to go through. And the same is true for every single believer. If you understand how this works biblically, amen? So don't play with me tonight. You don't have to get to me. You can have your touch tonight. Amen? You have faced off with cancer. You have faced a broken marriage. You have faced a broken relationship. You have fought a good fight in a battle. But you no longer have to fight it. Get some of this anointing tonight. Touch your neighbor tonight and say, get this. Take this. I have paid a price for it. You were supposed to be dead. You were supposed to be wiped out. But you're expensive. You're expensive. Don't fall short of what God purposed for your life. Don't be cheated out of your inheritance in the Holy Spirit. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Because your promised land is waiting. Every experience you've had, brokenness, bitterness, tonight releases all of that bitterness, all of that brokenness, because the anointing destroys every yoke. So come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Anybody game for that? Bitterness and unforgiveness will contaminate your anointing. See, there's junk that's got to come out. Ecclesiastes, dead flies in perfume make it stink. So tonight, let's be consecrated. A full surrender to Jesus, a living sacrifice. Let's be sanctified, set apart, holy, cleansed from uncleanness, letting go of every idol that sits on the throne of your life. Until you look at it and say, Lord, only you sit on the throne of my heart. I'll do whatever you ask, however you ask. I was watching some Muslims, ex-Muslims, talk about their newfound faith in Jesus. God's doing a phenomenal work among them in certain parts of Central Asia. We don't know the cost. When we baptize new converts, we just sometimes ask them, you know, are you ready to declare your faith in Jesus? Yeah. Have you made a confession that you are a sinner and now saved by grace and want to serve? Yep. In that part of the world, when you get baptized, here are some of the questions you're asked. Are you ready to suffer for Jesus? Because you will. Are you ready to give up everything that you've held dear and may possibly be displaced, if not killed, for your statement of faith? And to watch them on video with their faces kind of pixelated so they couldn't be identified, make their declarations of faith and go down into the water, knowing that this could cost them everything, including their life. And we struggle to give up minor stuff in order to get filled up with the presence of the Holy Spirit. As scaffolding is used to construct tall buildings, and then it's stripped away, revealing a beautiful building. Stop carrying the stuff that was used to make you. Let others see the beauty of the construction of God and what He's done in you. He has built your life. He has established you on a firm foundation. And for those that are willing tonight and ready and eager for a presence of the Holy Spirit, there will be breakthrough. There will be deliverance. There will be your healing and provision because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is present in the house in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen. The anointing destroys the yoke. We're crushed for a purpose. We pay a price for the anointing. You don't know the cost of my anointing. A living sacrifice, the fresh anointing of God, taking bitterness, brokenness, disappointment, and moving them out of your heart so you can get to the place where you move in what God ordained for you. And all the stuff that had to happen, had to transpire, all the things that came at you from all kinds of directions. Oh my goodness. Something else he said in this article. I thought it was dynamically good. He said, I've learned that the enemy attacks for two different reasons in our lives. We're either doing something right or we're doing something wrong. Sometimes we give the enemy place in our lives through unforgiveness or pride or the words of our mouth that agree with our adversary's plans against us and his lies. So we invite, the author says, the Holy Spirit to send his refining fire into us that will help us identify and shut doors to the wicked strategies of the enemy in our lives. And I thought, right on. Somebody's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Somebody's hearing what he has to say. All the things that had to happen, all the stuff that transpired, it's made you who you are. They are all, God is allowing all of those to work together for good. And you then get to walk in the power of his anointing to be his witness, to become a living demonstration of Jesus. I opt for that journey. It's worth it. So Pastor Michael, come and lead us.